go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 63 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. I was outside last night, metropolitan area. It was a Tuesday night, so it wasn't too crowded there. Reason why I was out is I was taking photos and some video of myself. Let me backtrack a little bit. The reason why I was doing so is because I'm still working on making an intro to this project, Verbal Graffiti. I want to do like a 30-second intro with music. That's what I was trying to do last night. But as I was taking these photos of me, a little video, people riding by on their bike. It was a nice night. Driving by in a car, walking their dog. People were hollering at me, asked me what I was doing. You get into a conversation before you know it. Hey, I got to get this done. I don't mean to be rude. And even people who weren't stopping me, I could tell they were looking at me without pretending not to look at me. I sensed that energy, those eyeballs on me. It made me feel... And it has its way since I've begun filming sketches outside. Anytime I have the video camera out, people do seem to glare at me. The camera is a bug zapper. People are drawn to it. It does make me feel uncomfortable, subconscious about myself. So to all the hotties out there and the baddies, I know what you're going through now. I understand now when I'm leering at you how that can make you feel a little queasy on the inside. Now, I'm not going to stop doing so, not going to stop looking back at you, but I do have more sympathy, and I do know what you're going through and the emotions it brings to you because of my and all of us Johns out there who can't keep our eyes on ourselves. So, yeah, it's always a weird process filming outside in public. It brings up a whole nother point. Yesterday, while I was supposed to be working, I was listening to a podcast between Chris Williamson and Eric Weinstein, I think is his name. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. But they were talking about current events, and the topic came up of, what's his name? Donald Trump. You know who that guy is? About when he kind of got shot. Yeah, he got shot in the ear, and he rose the fist. And they were talking about that image and how quickly it's passed and how it actually, within a day, it became a meme. And they started talking about meme culture. And it kind of hit me being outside last night. I did not want to be outside. And I have had this sense probably the last couple years. Probably it began when, I think it was New York City, when there were just teenagers who were just side punching like old women, old men, Asians, and they were just popping them down. Just, you know, regular upstanding citizens walk across the street. Bam! It was a game. I'm not sure if that's still a thing, but now, like, anytime you step foot outside, especially if you're at an event, if you're in a downtown area, think about the Hocktua girl or that major meme that they talked about yesterday on the podcast, where the stud is looking back, he's with his girlfriend holding hands. I'm not too sure. You know the meme I'm talking about, where they're holding hands, but he's looking back at the ass of the babe that's walking by. That's me. That easily could have been the B-Man in that situation. If there was a camera on me every time I go out, I could have been that meme. The Hocktua girl, she just went out with their girlfriends, trying to have a good night. Some guy puts a camera in their face, puts a mic up, starts talking, maybe she's a little lubricated on the libations, says a funny line, boom, she's a meme. You go to a baseball game, the kiss cam comes up, your lady sideswipes, she doesn't let you kiss her, boom, you're a meme. You go out in public, like, there is a chance The memification world is going to come down on you, and your life is over. You are no longer have agency over your body, over your personhood, who you are. It crumbles. Bury yourself 6 feet under, because for the rest of your life, you are a meme. If you get caught, and anybody could get caught. Anybody, any of us out there, you think you're unsuspecting. Before you know it, you're getting knocked out by a teenager, or you're some asshole's got a camera, phone camera out, takes a snap, puts a funny caption on it, puts it on the internet, and you're immortalized as something that people younger than you make fun of you for the rest of your life. It's very uncomfortable going outside. It's literally why I'm afraid to go to a college football game or concerts or any public event with lots of people. I'm terrified that someone's going to catch me at the wrong angle, looking the wrong way, drinking the wrong juice or the wrong beer or doing something weird with a water bottle. And before you know it, the internet, you're there forever. And there's no recovery. You know, it's not the NBA where you're down 20 points in the third quarter and you make a comeback. No, once you become a meme, there's no coming back. Game over. Go back to the locker room. Find yourself a poison to poison yourself, because your life is over. And it's not fair. It is not fair that you're just out walking this world trying to have a good time, and fucking phone cameras just ruin it all. Like a personalized drone attack bomb over your life. And you're like one of the Snoopy or whatever, one of them has a cloud over them, and that's who you are. And it's not even who you are. You are now the meme. Like, your genetics, the chromosomes, the Ys, whatever the hell that is, it morphs into a flat meme or GIF, and you know, you got to go live in some South American village where they don't have access to the Wi-Fi, because you can't be in the U.S. when you become a meme. It's petrifying out there in the real world. It's almost, now I'm thinking, now when I film and be taking photos outside, I might have to find a tarp and put it over me so that I don't get caught with a weird smirk on my face. Thankfully, I do stand-up where I'm in dark rooms and I'm not successful, so there are hardly anybody in there watching me do my dick jokes or listening to me do my dick jokes. And you do know I love Mr. Perfect. Let's get into something I found on Reddit. I found this one. Just making sure the mic is on. It comes from a subreddit called Bad Women's Anatomy. I've seen a few of those. I thought my clit was where I peed from. Sexual miseducation. I guess this is probably a topic brought up all the time in this sub, but I went literally almost 21 years of my life thinking I was peeing from my clit. If I had to pee in a cup, I placed my clit in the middle and I would get pee all over my hand because I was missing the urethra. If I masturbated, I would rub my urethra thinking it's the clit and not get any pleasure. I didn't want to rub my urethra, so I would avoid rubbing it because I didn't want to rub where I peed from. Hand emoji. And for a while I was smelling bad down there and thought it was my pubic hair, so I trimmed, and that did help, but now I'm realizing it's because I was wiping the wrong area and would miss my urethra, so my pee would get on my hair, stick, and stink everything up. I was starting to get really self-conscious about it too, you don't think? My sex ed in my health classes really failed me with this one. I was so insecure about my anatomy to thinking it was completely wrong, just to see it mostly follows the diagrams and pictures you see when you Google the female anatomy. so much to process with this one. I will put up an image of the female anatomy because I had to look just to make sure I knew where all the parts were. I mean, first off, I mean, you as a woman, as a babe, you didn't know what hole you peed from. You thought you peed from your clit, and then you complain that all the studs don't know how to get you off. Excuse me if we can't make you quiver. Take some self. You don't even know where to pee. You don't even know where you're peeing from. And you get bitchy at us because we're not able to diddle the right spot at the right angle, at the right pressure to get you off. When you yourself are mixing up the clit and the pee hole, I'm not taking any more shit from any of you babes out there. Secondly, this is so Americana right here. This is so America, social media, 21st century, millennials, X, whatever the fuck we are right now, where nobody's willing to take self-accountability. You're seriously going to come at us here at Verbal Graffiti on Reddit to the B-Man, and you're gonna pin the blame on the United States healthcare classes for you not knowing where you pee from? Why don't you look in the mirror and take some self-accountability? That's not the responsibility of the health class teacher to show you where you're peeing from. That's something you should learn on your own. And if not your own, that's something your mom should teach you when you're, 5, 6 years old, when you're getting potty trained. Like, after you're potty trained, you should kind of know where the hole is. Did you ever look down when you peed? That's the main question I have. Not once in your life, in your 21 years, you already got pubic hair. Did you ever look down and see what hole the pee is coming out of? It seems like I look at my pee all the time just to make sure. I look down. Okay, when I pee, I know where my pee hole is. I'm looking and I'm seeing it to splatter all over the toilet, so I know the toilet seat, so I know I have to move my aim where it is. You never did that with your urethra? Weird. Now, I'm not going to get on you. I am not going to eviscerate you here because I have had similar confusions with the female anatomy. I guess I should admit this since this is not a glass house, although it is a glass house because that is my last name. I will admit I was 27 when I learned that you babes don't pee out of your vagina. That is true. I was out to eat with my sister Missy, who is a nurse, and her friend. I don't know which of her friends it was, but she's also a nurse. So we're there. We're eating some grilled cheese at Westbrook Lobster in Wallingford, Connecticut. It was a summer afternoon, happy hour. We're getting our buzz on. I'm 27 at the time. They're talking about a patient they had whose poop was constipated. And they were just talking about the holes down there. And they mentioned the poop was coming out the urethra, and I was like, oh, it was coming out the vagina? They go, no, it was coming out the urethra. And I gave a look to my sister Missy and her friend, who's also a nurse. I go, just a confused look. And then my sister gave me a confused look back. She doubled down. She raised my weird look, my confused look, with their also confused look. Because my look told my sister and her friend, oh, you don't know there's two holes down there? And they had to explain to me, no, there's the pee hole, and then there's the big hole, which is the vagina. And you don't pee out of that big hole, the vagina. You pee out of the little one that's above the vagina, which you could see right here, on the anatomy picture that I put up here. And that was a revelation to me. And shortly after that, I discovered that babes, you babes do not like when you refer to their vagina as the big hole, even though technically it is the big hole. Because when you compare the pee hole to the vagina, the vagina is huge. The vagina is an ocean. It's the Indian Ocean. The pee hole is a little stream in your backyard. So I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to eviscerate you for not knowing your anatomy. Although we are different sexes. In my defense, I don't watch kinky porn, so I'm not watching people, women pee on Johns. That's not my genre of porn. Not hating on it, but it's also, I don't watch women pee that often. Although now maybe I do want to get peed on. I do like peeing on babes in the shower. My one rule is I will not buy a babe dinner until she lets me pee on her in the shower. Those are my rules. It's worked out well for me. Maybe it will work out for you. Well, back to you though. Back to you and your predicament. First of all, tablet like 7, 8, 9 right now. Why do you have pubic hair? Why? You're obviously young. I don't know, 20, 25. You should be getting waxed. You shouldn't have pubic hair down there. You should, at the very most, you should just have a little landing strip. The B-man likes landing strips. Having a full bush down there, no bueno, don't do that. This is very... It's hard for me to process how you went almost your entire life not knowing the hole that you peed out of. And now that I think about, honestly, the fact that you were peeing down there and it was getting caught in your pubic hair and it was making it stinky down there and giving yourself a skunk pussy because you weren't wiping the right hole or you were wiping the clit thinking it was the pee hole. I don't know how babes wipe after they pee. So, all right, I'm thinking out loud here. Let's break this down. So when a babe, you pee, you squat down on a toilet, you pee, I'm assuming you wipe up as to avoid the vagina and hence an infection. You don't want to get a urinary tract infection. I'm not even sure how that works, but I'm assuming you wipe up away from the hole so that you don't get an infection in the vagina. But how do you wipe up? Or is it more of a dab? Because if you do wipe up, it can get all over the clit and your pubic hair, which is the pubic hair is above your pee hole usually and sometimes to the side. So do you wipe up or is it more of a dab? Like you have a stain on a white t-shirt, you get some ketchup, so you dab it. So do you take the Charmin and dab it or do you go up? Or, and also like when you pee, let me know down in the comments, baby. Do you spread your lips open so that the pee avoids the outer lips when you do pee? Like, do you just spread it wide so the pee just goes directly into the toilet? Or when you do wipe, do you pin your hood down so that your clit is covered and then you wipe up so that way it avoids the clit touch it, the piss, the moisture from the piss on their urethra? You avoid touching that, avoids touching the clit, so you press down on the hood so that it kind of goes right over and doesn't come into contact. I have no idea how the babes will wipe. I'm gonna have to call my sister Missy and ask her. I'm going typical beam in here. I read a post, I want to shit all over you, and then I can't, because honestly, I have no idea how you babes wipe after taking a piss through your urethra, not your clit. The girls, when you're in high school, I think I know how we can solve this problem. The girls in high school and boys, when you're in a locker room after gym class, the girls should all sniff each other's private parts. So any babe in your gym class who has a skunk pussy and it smells funky, you could tell her, yeah, you got a stank puss. How are you wiping? You could find solutions right there, right when you're hitting puberty. Same thing with the boys. We should get on our knees, smell every other guy's privates. So if anyone's like obscene, there's some obscene stank just emanating from our pubic area. Like, we know, hey, you gotta go see a doctor or figure this out. This should be, after every gym class, the girls go to the girls' locker room, sniff each other's vagina. The boys go to the boys' locker room, sniff each other's ball sacks and wieners, and just kind of nip it in the bud right there and help out our fellow students. That should be a requirement in high school, public and private, and religious high schools in the United States of America. That's what I'm advocating for right now. For the 2024 presidential election, hopefully they could institute it into law early 2025 once the new administration gets settled. That should be number one on the docket to get done. Now that I think about it, there was this babe, this Filipino babe I was with on the Upper West Side, and she had the most wet vagina I've ever felt in my life. It was literally, we were on bed, on her couch, watching a movie. I put my hand on her inner thigh. It's Filipino, so her legs weren't very, long. Filipinos are short. So, but like, by the time I was halfway up her thigh, like, there was a liquid. It was like dripping down. I was like, oh my God. I came so quickly inside of this babe. It was the most wet, best vagina I've ever felt in my life. But, it stank. It was a skunk puss, man. Skunk coochie. Ooh. It's now that, reflecting back on a few times we had sex, I should have told her that her vagina smelled like skunk. I didn't want to do so because I didn't want to hurt her feelings. And also, if I had told her it was skunk, she probably would have got really subconscious and not want to see me again. So it was self-preservation, also not wanting to hurt her. But looking back, I should have told her, because maybe she was wiping wrong, or maybe there was another. I actually think there was something else going on down there. There's a name for it. I forget the name. Why am I going to? I'm not trying to call this babe out. I think she works for one of the airlines, or she did back then. Wow, what a wet one. But yeah, high school, we should all be sniffing each other just to try to help our classmates out. But I'm glad I'm thankful and I'm happy for you that you can now differentiate between the vagina, the urethra, and the clit. So I'm happy for you there. I'm happy you've made progress. And maybe next time you masturbate, you'll be able to make your left leg quiver. Let's go look at some photos. Let's go look at some photos. Verbal Graffiti, episode 63, segment 2. I noticed that in that first segment, my jacket makes some ruffling noises. My apologies if that's coming through the mic and you're hearing that. I'll try not to wear this jacket again when I film future episodes. I probably will forget, though, and will wear it as the seasons here are changing, which also brings up another thing I have to address. That is, bandana summer is coming to an end. Although, I think I'm going to continue to wear the bandanas. Maybe not every episode. Maybe not every night when I go to do stand-up. But I have accumulated a few of them this season. I like the way they look on me. They make me feel more confident. And not many of the fellas around are wearing a bandana. So it makes me stand out. And, I'm going to continue to peacock. So the bandana will be part of my attire going forward. Proud to say that. Proud to be a bandana guy. Going back to that first segment with the human anatomy, something came up this weekend. I was with my family. We were having a little party. And I had mentioned that there was a long time in my life, probably till my late teens, I thought the penis came from the umbilical cord, and the length of your penis was dependent on how far away from your body the doctor cut the umbilical cord. So the further away, the longer the umbilical cord was when it was cut, that determined the length of your penis. Now, I learned somewhere along the way, I think the umbilical cord is your belly button. So they cut it, it kind of turns black, similar to getting grayscale in Game of Thrones, and it falls off, which is also similar to a duck penis, if you know anything about duck anatomy. The human body, very, very confusing. It's an enigma to a lot of us who have not studied anatomy or is not part of our profession. Maybe I should spend a day with my sister, Missy, at the hospital. As I mentioned previously, she is a nurse. And just walk from room to room and get a look at everyone's bodies who are in pain. And just really focus on how their bodies operate so I can get a better feel for how, you know, how the body works. The body, man, it's ever-changing. So, my bad. I thought the umbilical cord was a wiener for over a decade of my life. Also have to mention, if I'm not anything, to be man, I am an online panhandler. Let's say I'm on the corner of the internet on 9th Ave and 23rd Street. I'm begging. I'm imploring you. I got my hat out begging for money. What I'm really begging for is please like, subscribe, download, whether it's YouTube, Apple, Spotify, share it with a friend, share it with an ex, share it with a friend who doesn't know how to wipe their vagina correctly after taking a piss. Share it, rip it up, make fun of me, do the thing where like my lips move but say something different. If you like a clip, feel free to condense it and put it out there on the internet, on whatever corner of the internet you are. If you do that, maybe we'll actually get this project that is Verbal Graffiti. It will take off and get off the ground, and like putting yeast in the oven, it will, whatever, bake into a pie or a cake or whatever the fuck. I don't know. I'm not a great cook. One thing I also wanted to mention, I tried taking a photo of this, and I guess the photo didn't take, but I was in Cheshire, Connecticut at an intersection. If you're not aware, Cheshire, Connecticut is a mostly upper middle class, mostly white community town. Make of that what you will. But I was there at the intersection. The car in front of me had a bumper sticker with a skeleton hand, middle finger. And I looked at that, trying to take a snap of it. It was such a snapshot of the depravity that has become American culture, a middle-class culture, and how there is no more middle class. Like, if you're driving a car in America and you decide it's a good idea to put a middle finger bumper sticker on your vehicle, you're telling everybody you don't give a fuck about anybody. This was the middle of the day, and you got a middle finger, and they're probably tons of kids seeing it. What are you thinking? Putting a bumper sticker of a middle finger on your car for everybody to see, the elderly, the young, the nuns, the priests, the teachers, the upstanding citizens. Like, yeah, me, the people's degenerate. I see it. I get a chuckle. But you got to understand, there are people trying to raise families. And for you to be putting a middle finger on your vehicle and not have a care in the world for morals, for efficacy, for just civility. Can we have a little bit more civility? It is clearly over in America. And as that guy, who is it, Rutherford Ledyard, who's claiming there's going to be a civil war, I'm not sure about that. But when I'm seeing cars middle of the day in an upper middle class neighborhood with a middle finger bumper sticker, it does make me question the downfall of American culture, society, and if we can ever recover from it. Yeah, we're still a superpower. We're a hegemon. We got all the bombs and the military, and we still have Harvard and all the universities. And, you know, our culture is still, like the movie culture is still the envy of the world, man. But when you see a vehicle with an obscene bumper sticker in the middle of the day, as I'm trying to go just do some errands, and it's just knowing that kids are going to see that, and then a father's going to have to explain what that is to his little boy or his little girl, and it's like, fuck you. I know literally you're telling us fuck you with that bumper sticker, but fuck you for doing that and then putting parents in a position where they have to have a difficult conversation as their, you know, 8-year-old boy is laughing in the passenger seat. It's who the fuck am I to be complaining? I mean, look at this. I mean, but at least I'm not. Actually, I do read Smut Lit in public, so maybe what's that word? I'm a hypocritical. Yes, I'm a hypocritical. But yeah, I will not be putting middle finger bumper stickers on vehicles. Moving along, found this one on the subreddit Doomer. Just going to leave this here. I give up on dating because I am aware that being 5'5" isn't going to help me land a date, no matter how high tier normie I am or how gentleman I am. I have come to that acceptance and will not and cannot resist this reality. I would like to see the world how I want to see it, but I see the world for what it is. It makes me feel down and feel like ending it all. Well, please don't. What's been keeping me here is eating my favorite foods, YouTube, what up? Watching cute animal videos, video games, my PS5, learning about crypto, scammers will be ignored, and the stock market, and listening to new artists that I never heard of. I'm pretty sure the votes for this post aren't going to be great, which is why I'm going to leave this here. I already tried copium, do not know what that word means, and have an extremely high tolerance for it. Now, yours truly. ... Kind of reads like a suicide note. Hopefully that's not the case. In a way, I'm in admiration of you. Reason being is you are a realist. It makes your life a little easier to live, to get by. There's a drudgery that is day-to-day life in this America, and having to see people with middle finger bumper stickers that you try to go about your day. All right, enough of that. Back to you. But the fact is, I am not a realist. As 40 years old, still trying to make it as a stand-up comedian after a decade plus of doing it. Failure with After Time Expires, go check it out. Written Smut Blog. Trying to do this thing here, Verbal Graffiti. Nothing I've done is ever taken off the ground. I am what you call an idealist. I'm a dreamer, a go-getter. I go after life. While I enjoy it because it is who I am, that carrot at the end of the stick, I'm always reaching after it, and it makes life not more difficult, but it's more cumbersome. Like right now, I could be watching a football game, eating some potato chips, gambling, drinking a beer. It's wasting my life away, but I'm not. I'm trying to go out there, trying to meet women, trying to get the chuckles, trying to get something out of life. But you're a realist. You're a realist. And for that, a tip of the gradient glasses for you. But you're right. I can't dissuade you from what you're saying. You are correct. 5'5", yeah, you're never going to get a date, whether it be here in America or any woman in the Western Hemisphere. The babes here, they don't look at men who are 5'5". And I'm sure you know this because you've never gotten a date or you hardly get any. So yeah, you're right on with that. And you're a realist in that perspective. I'm thinking about now, there's this guy on the internet. What's his name? I think his name is Michael Sartain. He's kind of a evolutionary psychologist, a manosphere, red sphere, a Las Vegas party guy. He has this hypothesis, and maybe he took it from somebody else, but he talks about it, where there are actually three genders. We have women, or who I call babes. So we have babes. We have guys that those babes want to fuck. And then there are guys that those babes have no interest in fucking or even going on dates with. So there are actually three spheres of human being. There are women, There are the hotties, there are the chads, and then there are all of us who babes don't even look at. And luckily for you, you are in the silent majority. Women, the babes, they just look past 80% of the guys. If you go to Home Depot or Lowe's and there's a worker there who's short and he's got the ugly vest on, or he's a checkout person at the grocery store, women won't even look at that guy as a sexual being. They hardly even look at him as a human at all. You're a ghost in their eyes, as you've pointed out in your posts. So you take solace in the fact that you are in the silent majority. Now, what do we do with that, okay? Thankfully for me, I'm 5'11". If I had better posture, I would be 6 feet. I'm very thankful for that. In some ways, having a micro penis is better than being 5'5" as a man, because at least with a micro penis, you could hide that behind your trousers. But you're 5'5", that's out and open, and women see that right away. So they're not even, you can't even get to a date with them, as you've pointed out so eloquently here. You point this all out. You say you're not even going to try dating, but let's say you do have a high libido. And what do we do with your libido? Well, clearly your only options now are pornography, which I'm sure you spent some time diddling with. I think in a short near future, the smarties in tech in Silicon Valley, they will perfect AI girlfriends. So if you have the funds, you'll be able to get one of them, or you could go the high-end escort route and pay for sex. Or like you said you're really into crypto and you're studying the stock market. So if you really make a killing with that and hit it huge and become a multimillionaire, then you could probably get yourself a gold digger. I would suggest, though, not getting a gold digger if you get to that point where there's a babe who can dig for your gold. I say this because there's always going to be a level of resentment from you. Yeah, you'll have a hot babe and you can show her off, and maybe she'll suck you off every once in a while. Other than that, though, deep down, you're always going to know the only reason why she's with you is because you have money, and you're going to resent her for that, and you're probably going to hate her. And you know deep down that's the only reason why she's with you, and that tension's always going to be there. So you'd be better off alone than with that gold-digging slut whore. Back. Other option for you is to leave America, leave Western Hemisphere, go somewhere where the average height is shorter, whether that be somewhere in Asia, India, or South America. There are plenty of places in the world and where the average height of guys is probably, I don't know, 5'6", 5'7". So you can do the, what do they call that? The passport bro. I believe that's a term. Americans who go foreign to find a girlfriend, you could do that route if you're really interested in getting women. There are plenty of tutorials from the Passport Bros on YouTube you could check out. Just you know, put it in the search and you'll see plenty of videos from those sad men. But hey, they get the babes overseas, so I'm not hating on them. I do like your state of mind, though. And let me try to give you a bit of a pep talk, all right? I'm a bit of an idealist, so I'm going to try. Take a knee. Like we're playing football, take a knee right now, and you're only 5'5", so it's not far down. It's bad joke, my bad. All right. Everything you said that you're into, whether it's YouTube, eating dope food, playing PS5, looking at the cute dog videos, crypto, stock markets, all that, that's fun shit. Honestly, all that stuff that you're doing right now is more fun than hanging out with babes. Babes, they're a wet blanket. Most babes do not know how to have fun. Now, honestly, if you told your boys, you got some boys, tell them, hey, I got a PS5, they're going to be excited. They want to come over. They're going to want to get the sticks. They're going to want to play Madden with you or whatever first person fighter game you're playing. I'm not a video game guy, so I don't know. But PSA 5 is like the top system. So your friends would be geeked out if you had just gotten that. If you told your boys, like, oh, I got a new girlfriend, they're going to be happy for you, but behind your back, they're going to be, oh, man, dude, he's got a girlfriend. She's going to change him. He's never going to want to come out anymore because he's going to be a slave to the pussy. Hopefully, it's not a skunky pussy. But women just bring men down. There's no fun. Women aren't fun when they're around guys. And I, other than their orifices, what else do you want to do with a babe after that and some cuddling? Whoa, that was misogynistic of me. Hey, I'm trying to help out this guy, okay? We're trying to pep him up. But seriously, though, everything you're doing, like, there's hardly any babes that would want to do these things with you. Whether, like, how many babes want to watch a YouTube and play PS5 and study the stock market? Honestly, I guarantee you, because I know myself, I've gotten much more knowledge and laughter from YouTube videos than I have any woman in my life. And not that there have been many, but you get the point. Like, you're living a good life. You're living a good life. You've shunned the woman. You've kind of become an incel. But hey, you're learning how to become rich. You're playing your video games. You know, you're watching YouTube, which is dope as fuck. So you're in a good spot. I will suggest, though, that you find a hobby, and a hobby that's outside. It doesn't have to be a physically active hobby, but it has to be an activity where you have to open your front door and go outside. This is because even though you've shunned the women, you've understood your lot in life, the women on the internet are a lot hotter than the women in the real world. So you're so invested. You're living too much on the internet world where all these women have filters and are magical looking. When if you go out into the real world, you'll notice most of those people with the XY chromosomes, they're kind of ugly. They look like potatoes. They have Picasso bodies. They have horse faces. You want nothing to do with them. And if you walk outside long enough, these babes, they're so deformed that you'll be thankful that none of them want to date you and that you don't have to waste a Sunday afternoon at the in-law's house. You'll be so thankful that you're 5'5". So yeah, do that. Go outside. Find a hobby that just is out in the real world where you'll see all the uglies and the potatoes and the Picasso bodies. But yeah, man, you're in a tough spot. I mean, no babe wants to fuck a guy that has to put lifts in his sneakers to get on a roller coaster. So it's a tough spot. But hey, man, I gotta say this, man, to you and to everybody, go suck a fat one.